Louisville, New Albany, a Golden Door broadcasting station.
Welcome to Bible Talk, where truth is taught and questions are answered. Bible Talk is brought to you by the South End Church of Christ. We meet at 4001 Taylor Boulevard. You are invited to participate in the program by calling 571-1240. That is 571-1240. And now, your host, Aaron Erhard.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk, where truth is taught and questions are answered. Bible Talk is brought to you by the South End Church of Christ. We meet at 4001 Taylor Boulevard. Our building sits right on the corner of Taylor Boulevard and Ashland Avenue and borders the Watterson Expressway at Exit 9. That means no matter where you are in the Kentuckiana area, you are just minutes from our church building. You can visit us on the web at southendchurchofchrist.com. I am Aaron Erhart, and joining me on the program today is my good friend and fellow evangelist, Don Wright. Don works with the West End Church of Christ. They meet at 4401 West Broadway. Don, great to have you on the program.
Good to be with you. Look forward to it.
As always, we invite your participation on the program. If you have a question or comment, the lines are open. The number is 571-1240. That is 571-1240. Let's talk Bible on Bible Talk. Yesterday, we received this email. Dear Aaron, I was passing your Bible Talk card to a dear lady who comes to our shop. She recognized your program and told me that you were attacking Christians. She said she wanted to come through that radio and choke you when you read that scripture about tongues being ceased. I told her that I would email you her statement. She said, quote, "You are an enemy of the cross because you attack Christians instead of sin. Sin is the problem. Jesus said, 'Greater things than I do, ye shall do.' I believe Jesus uses people like Benny Hinn in the ministry of healing. There are people who do speak in tongues today because I am one of them." End quote. Would you please address her concern? Although there are a lot of things we could say about this email, today Don and I are going to focus in on the so-called faith healers. This lady believes that God is using Benny Hinn and others to heal people miraculously. She's not alone in this belief. There are hundreds of thousands of people who also believe that Benny Hinn is an agent of God, an agent through which miracles are taking place. And so today we're going to investigate.
You know, Aaron, it's amazing to me. First of all, most of these faith healer folks all claim some things in common. One thing almost all of them claim is that God speaks directly to them. And some of the things that they utter not only are contradictory to the Bible, but they're just absurd just on the face of them. I remember, I don't have the quote right before me, I certainly can get it, but I talked about Benny Hinn yesterday claiming that women were supposed to have their babies out of their sides originally. You thought that was ridiculous. I have quotes of Benny Hinn talking about Adam. He was getting carried away in one sermon. He said that Adam was a superhuman. That he could swim underwater like a fish, even claimed that he had been to the moon, and just utterly ridiculous things like that. He's preaching a sermon saying those kind of things. And he was, you know, dealing with Genesis and talking about God, talking about man having dominion over that. He just runs with that, gets all carried away with that, and starts spewing out things that are totally unscriptural and no truth to him at all, and yet people follow him. If he showed up at a stadium here in Louisville, he'd fill it up just like that. Because people are kind of gullible when it comes down to some of these faith healers. They believe them and follow them to the ends of the earth, it seems.
Yeah, that's right. Unless anyone think we're out of line or acting inappropriately, let me remind you that 1 John 4, verse 1, tells us to test the spirits. That's what we're doing today. We are testing the spirits. Benny Hinn and others claim that they are agents of God. They are claiming the ability through the Holy Spirit to perform miracles. We're going to look to see what the Word of God says about that, but I hold in my hand a transcript from Dateline NBC. Dateline NBC reporters investigated Benny Hinn's claims. They followed Benny Hinn from city to city, crusade to crusade. And what they found is startling to some, but not surprising to others. They, again, went from city to city following Benny Hinn, following up on his claims of miraculous healing. For instance, there was a woman in Las Vegas who had lung cancer. Well, during that particular crusade, Benny Hinn claimed that she was cured of lung cancer. However, these reporters followed up and noted that she died 2.5 months later of lung cancer. Another lady in Massachusetts had cancer. Her son also had cancer. Well, according to Benny Hinn, they were healed of their cancer that night. Well, the follow-up investigation showed that the lady's son died of cancer just a few weeks after the crusade. A few months after that, she died. The doctor said the cause was cancer. Now, these examples could be duplicated over and over and over again. But I want you to see that Benny Hinn does not pass the test. He claims that these people are healed, yet when people follow up, those folks weren't healed at all. They're no better off. Many of them end up dying of the very disease Benny Hinn claims to have healed. And here's perhaps the biggest tragedy. When these people continue to be sick following one of these crusades, Benny Hinn blames them. I have a quote here from this same report. Benny Hinn said, quote, "The reason people lose their healing is because they begin questioning if God really did it." So now they're just compounding the problem. Not only is this poor, desperate person still suffering from the same disease, but now they have the guilt of knowing, at least if they believe Benny Hinn, that it was their lack of faith that stopped the healing. My friend, it wasn't their lack of faith. Benny Hinn is a fraud. He's a fake. He's a phony. He never had the power to heal them in the first place. We're going to continue looking at Benny Hinn and others. But first, hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Yeah, Aaron, I agree with you about Benny Hinn, but I sure wouldn't use Dateline NBC as a source when it comes to religious matters.
They're not the source. The Word of God is the source.
Absolutely right. You're right. Okay. Now, one quick thing. Don, you haven't mentioned the last couple of days about more Bible Talk. Is that still going?
Yes, it is. And we got caught up on this yesterday, and we noticed afterwards we made the point. We forgot to mention that. But, yes, that is going to go on beginning Tuesday, and it's going to be another half hour. Appreciate you bringing that up, by the way. And it's going to be a continuation of this program. Basically, it will be a different program only from the standpoint that the West End Church is going to be providing the program. But we're going to call it More Bible Talk because the same format is going to continue. And it will be from 2:30 to 3 every Tuesday and Thursday. Again, appreciate you bringing that up.
Okay, are you going to be the host and Aaron the guest?
Well, I suppose. We haven't really given that a kind of thought. Probably. I might give him a break from the hot seat. I don't know, but it'll have the same format.
Okay, Aaron, quick Bible question. How about focusing in a little bit on this? I believe is it 14:27 with the greater works, where Jesus is saying, "Greater works shall you do"?
Yeah, that's John 14:12.
Okay, talk a little bit about that, will you?
All right. 571-1240 is the number. 571-1240. Jesus there is talking to his apostles. And he says, the works that he does, they shall do. And he said, even greater works than these you shall do. Now, this probably refers to the quantity of their work, certainly not the quality of their work. Jesus performed mighty miracles that were second to none. The apostles would be given the same gifts, the ability to perform miracles, except they would do it on a larger scale. It would be of more quantity, not greater quality.
Yeah, from the standpoint of the miracles themselves, Jesus did some mighty impressive things that even the apostles never did. He turned water into wine and all the miracles of Christ. And every miracle the apostles performed, they did so through and by Jesus Christ and his power. So I think the only way to look at that is the fact that they were around longer and had more time to do more of the miracles. So I think that's what that's dealing with.
You know, this Dateline NBC investigative report is not our standard of whether or not one is performing miracles today. The Word of God is. I think most people understand that. However, I think it's interesting that these people took the time to follow up. And every time, without exception, the person was not healed. And let's be honest about it. Benny Hinn is making millions and millions of dollars with his claims of miraculous healing. They interviewed one man who was responsible for taking up the collection at these crusades. And the man was asked, in cash, what was the biggest night you counted? He replied, in cash? Well, one night I counted $420,000. Now, that's one night in cash. That's not counting the checks. That's one night in cash. Benny Hinn made at least $420,000. This report says that his annual income has increased from $50 million in 1997 to more than $1 million a year. Benny Hinn refuses to make his personal finances public. Now consider this, and again, this is a quote from Dateline NBC. The Hinn ministry also spends a great deal on Pastor Benny's lifestyle when he's on the road. These records show hotel suites for well over $1,000 a night and transatlantic flights on the Concorde at more than $8,000 round trip. That is, before Pastor Benny began flying in a multi-million dollar private jet. It tells of a home that Benny Hinn has built overlooking the Pacific Ocean. At the time of this report, it was still being built at a cost of $3.5 million in a gated community. It was 6,000 square feet, 7 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, and a basement garage with enough space for 10 cars. Listen, let's just call it what it is. Benny Hinn is exploiting people for material gain. He will take your last $5 and make no bones about it. This man is not a man of God. And when Don and I expose him, we're not the bad guys. We're the good guys. He's the fraud. He does not have the power to heal. I know that based on the Word of God. I know that based on investigations where people have followed up and found his claims to be false. Don't be gullible. Don't put your trust in Benny Hinn. Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Yeah, I got two quick questions. What is people bounce from church to church, whether it be entertainment purposes or trying to find a mate and so forth. I mean, you know, what is the main reason a person should be authorized to join another congregation? Because some pastors say, well, you can join by letter or by baptism. Can you speak on that? And then also about, what do you think about this woman preacher that preaches in these stadiums and so forth and got all these big crowds? I mean, is that okay with God or not? Thank you.
Thank you. In answer to your first question, we have to clarify and make sure we understand when we're talking about being a member of a congregation, we'd better be a member of the congregation belonging to Christ, the blood-bought body that meets all the marks of identification set forth in the New Testament. Now, thankfully, in this city, there are several local congregations belonging to Christ. Well, when should I leave a congregation for another congregation? Well, you have the right to decide which congregation you'll work and worship with, so long as it's faithful. Maybe a congregation is closer to home, and you say, well, you know, this congregation is faithful too, so I'll be a member there. You may like the preacher or the elder. There's several reasons where you might make a decision to be a member here rather than there. But I'll tell you one case where you have no decision. When that congregation is in error, I've often said, if you can't change the people, change the people. And I think you know what we mean by that. If you're in a congregation that has embraced error, and congregations of Christ have done that, maybe they've bought into the social gospel, maybe they're using the Lord's money in unauthorized ways, maybe they're appointing women elders or preachers, there's all sorts of ways they might go off into error. Well, if they're not willing to change, then you must change. That's a situation where you have no choice. You need to find a local congregation and place your membership there that's faithful.
That's right. And two things, just very quickly. Number one, you need to, as Aaron pointed out, you need to make sure that whatever church you're a member of, it's the Lord's church. And the one thing that caught my ear when the good caller was talking about that, the one pastor saying you baptized to join a church. Listen, baptism doesn't put you into a local church. Baptism puts you into Christ, the universal church. And that just tells me that there's some people that have a misunderstanding of baptism. A lot of people teach that you're saved and then you're baptized into a local church to demonstrate that you've been saved. No, baptism is not an outward sign of an inward grace. Baptism is to put you into Christ. And so we need to make sure we're clear on that. So far as women preaching in these big auditoriums, it's wrong for women to preach in the big auditorium or a small auditorium, an assembly of the saints. Why do we say that? Because in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 11, Paul said, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." That's scripture, and we stick by that.
Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Hello, brothers. It's a beautiful hot day today. Listen, you know, these things in regards to this vile and violent email that this lady brought to your guys' attention, you know, that's nothing new. And to reiterate a little bit, and you guys continue to keep the faith as the prophets and the apostles of old, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Keep up the good work, my brothers.
Thank you. Appreciate the encouragement. The lines are open. The number is 571-1240. I hold in my hand an article from 1987. This appeared in Newsweek, July the 13th, 1987. Let me just read you the first paragraph. And this will show that Benny Hinn's not alone in making these outrageous claims. He's one of many. This article is entitled Saving Souls or a Ministry. The subheading, Oral Roberts Says He Has Raised the Dead. Let me just read the first paragraph. It says, whatever Jesus Christ did, Oral Roberts thinks he can do. Not better, perhaps, but almost as well. As the Tulsa Evangelist tells it, he does a lot more than heal the sick. In the last 6 months, he has fended off a death threat from God, who said he would summon Roberts home unless he raised $8 million. Had it not been for a last-minute check from a Florida dog track owner, the Pentecostal preacher would have ascended to heaven. Then last spring, again like Jesus, he was manhandled by Satan in his Tulsa bedroom. And now Roberts has revealed a power that only his most faithful followers suspected he possessed. The ability to raise the dead. Quote, I can't tell you about all the dead people I've raised, Roberts boasted to some 5,000 Pentecostals at a recent Charismatic Bible Ministry conference. Can you believe that? Or maybe I should ask, do you believe that? Do you believe that Oral Roberts had to raise $8 million or he would have ascended to heaven? Do you believe that he was in a battle with Satan in his bedroom? That he was manhandled by Satan? Do you believe that he's really raised the dead on more than one occasion? The article continues, in a televised interview on his son's program, Richard Roberts Live, the famed healer recounted how he had revived a dead child before 10,000 witnesses. During a healing service, he recalled, a mother in the audience jumped up and shouted, my baby's dead. Roberts said he prayed over the child, and it jerked in my hand. So you see, Benny Hinn's not alone. He's not the only one who makes these outrageous claims. Oral Roberts and many others do as well. We're here to tell you, these people are not just misguided. These people are wolves in sheep's clothing. They prey on the poor and vulnerable, the desperate and diseased. Now, when Don and I point this out, we're not the bad guys. We're told to test the spirits. Oral Roberts is a fake, or was a fake. Benny Hinn is a fake. All of these other so-called faith healers are fakes. Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Yes, this is Pastor Teresa Johnson. I wanted you to know who I am. I don't have anything to hide. I've been listening to you all on the radio. And I want to say, I wonder if you have any power to heal the sick. I've listened to you talk about other ministers on the radio, talk about women ministers, and even Paul sent Priscilla and Aquila out. He commissioned them, husband and wife. Now, I used to listen to your program on the radio, but I won't be listening anymore because I think it's terrible.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes, you can ask me anything you want to, but let me finish what I'm going to say. I think it's awful the way you're on the radio talking about these ministers. I thought maybe you'd be on there trying to get souls saved.
Do you not condemn Benny Hinn yourself?
It's a bunch of negative stuff.
All right, let me ask you a question now.
No, you're not going to finish.
Are you going to let us talk or not?
No, I'm not. Bye.
Okay, I didn't think so. I didn't think so. And, you know, I had a couple of questions for her. The first was this. Have you ever read 1 Timothy 2, verse 12? If so, what does it say? Now, Don, I didn't think she was going to let us ask her a question. No, she's smart enough to know I better get off the air before they counter. Listen, this lady calls up. She's very proud that she's a woman preacher. All right? Let me read to you 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Now, this isn't Aaron Earhart. This is what the Word of God says. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. That's what the Word of God says in a context of worship. Paul says that women are not to teach nor to exercise authority over a man. Now, this woman pastor, by the way, a pastor is an elder. Paul set forth the qualifications for a pastor in 1 Timothy 3. Pray tell me, are you the husband of one wife? I didn't think so. So you're not even qualified to be a pastor. That's a term that you've stolen for yourself that you have no right to. What do you think Don and I are doing on this program when we expose error? We're trying to save the lost. I'm telling you, not as a foe, but as a friend. You need to step back. You have no right getting in the pulpit, in the assembly. You're in direct violation of 1 Timothy 2:12. I dare you to say otherwise. Nor are you a pastor. According to God, a pastor must be the husband of one wife. Unless you're the husband of one wife, stop calling yourself a pastor.
Right. When you look at the context of 1 Timothy chapter 2, you'll find that Paul is indeed dealing with a public assembly, a worship. What that means simply is the illustration that she just threw out there. She wasn't rightly dividing the Word of God at all. Priscilla and Aquila doesn't help your cause whatsoever. Nobody denies that both male and female ought to go out and preach the gospel to the lost. We're all to try to save souls. I don't care who you are. If you're a member of the Lord's church, you have a God-given responsibility to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not what we are saying is wrong on this program. We're saying women have no authority to be pastors. They have no authority to be preaching in a mixed assembly, a worship service where they exercise authority over men. That's not because of what Don Wright or Aaron Earhart says. Read your Bible. My only question is, will you believe your Bible when you read it? Or will you try to find loopholes to get around what you want to do instead of what God commands you to do?
And that is the crux of the matter. Whether we're talking about miracles today or we're talking about this woman who boasts of preaching in the assembly, the question is the Word of God our standard or not? How can you get around 1 Timothy 2:12? It's clear, it's undeniable. I'll give you another passage. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. As in all churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches. Here's your problem. You have an arrogance about you where you simply don't care what the Word of God says. You're going to do it anyway. I can tell that by your tone. You could care less what passages we quote. You're going to do it anyway. I'm begging you to change your heart. Soften your heart. God has a role for women in the church. It's an important role. But you've gone way too far. You've usurped the authority given to men. And as a gospel preacher, I beg you to repent. Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Yeah, I'm calling about the lady that called and the other one that left you on the internet. That lady that called is arrogant, and you can tell when you hit the truth with truth, because I ain't gonna listen to your show no more. Everything was all right till you hit home there, hit her with the truth. Keep on preaching the truth. And another one, which on the internet for years, they've been having them faith healers, even on the good times. They had where James Evans didn't have no work or nothing, so he wanted to join the faith healer to get paid and be one of the fall guys to play like he's her, was it, had cancer and stuff, to get money. Them faith healers always been fake, and if you believe in it, you just go. Well, even when I was a kid, I never did believe in that, and people just want to follow some, just want to be desperate. When it comes to you preaching the truth, they'll say you're the enemy, but you're not. I'd be glad. I was glad for somebody who told me the truth.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. 571-1240 is the number. You know, I hope people understand our motive. Don and I come on this program, and we discuss a host of issues. When we condemn error, or those who teach error, understand we're doing that to save the lost. We're doing that to bring people out of error and into the truth. And so don't misunderstand why we do what we do. We're not doing this as your enemy. We're doing this as your friend. We're not doing this to hurt you. We're doing this to help you. We are doing this in order to bring you to a saving knowledge of the truth. That's why we do what we do.
Yeah, and don't forget, you know, Aaron has quoted here, even on this program this afternoon, John said, try the spirits, 1 John 4:1. That we have to do that. That's what we're commanded to do. Paul said in another place that when it comes down to the unfruitful works of darkness, you're to expose them. Ephesians 5:11. So we're just doing what we're supposed to do. We understand going in, some people will be upset and angry about that. But we're going to do what God commands us to do. And, you know, there's a little difference, I think, between the email that we're looking at and exposing in this last lady who called. She has just determined, Aaron, to do something that she wants to do. I kind of feel sorry for the lady who sent the email. Now, you know, people are going to be upset when you challenge them religiously. We understand that. We don't get mad if someone sends an email like that. And even, you know, Aaron didn't get mad at all, even though the woman said she wants to come to the other side of the radio and choke him. You know, we understand a frustration when your belief is being exposed. But we just feel sorry for people who are misguided by these fake and false teachers like Benny Hinn. And I would think that everyone who even claims to be a Christian would stand with us and want men like that exposed. They're cheating people. They're robbing people blind. Some people, older people who can't even afford giving their life savings to these people while they live in mansions and fly in jets. Why isn't everyone upset with that?
Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Yes, sir. Y'all had a couple of calls back here today that asked about when you should seek a new church home or the case of that, yeah. And I would like if you could follow up on it a little bit. When you have animosity between you and an individual or a group of people, even if it is in the Church of Christ, when should you decide to leave and find a new church home just to maintain your own salvation?
Okay.
I'll hang up on this, sir.
Great question.
Yeah, very, very good question. And, you know, one of the things, as brethren, we need to do all we can to get along and to love one another. And remember, we're a family spiritually. And just like in a physical family, sometimes things will arise. There might be some animosity and that sort of thing. And we need to work these things out. I've often said, you can't be wrong with your brother and right with God. There are a lot of passages. We looked at the Sermon on the Mount earlier in the week, just did a quick review of it. One passage there talks about if you have aught with your brother, you put your gift down and you go and reconcile with him and then come and offer your gift. So, you know, we shouldn't be quick in local churches of Christ to, right when someone upsets you, to decide, well, I'm going to go to this other congregation over there. We're brethren. We need to work it out. When there's error involved, and error is being practiced, and it won't be repented of, then you need to not support that and find another local church. And so, but we need to really be careful that we don't have a bunch of enemies within the body of Christ, and that we're doing our best to love each other and get along. So.
We only have about a minute left, so we're not going to get to this next call. We do appreciate you calling, though. Hope you'll call back tomorrow. There's one other thing I want to say about this Benny Hinn investigation, and then I want to quickly reference the Word of God. I thought it was interesting that these reporters followed Benny Hinn from city to city and crusade to crusade. And every night it was the exact tried and true formula. They had the repetitive music, the mood lighting, and it was every night at 10 o'clock when Benny Hinn claims that God began speaking to him. Now, do you believe that every night at exactly 10 o'clock God chose to speak to Benny? Is God on Benny's schedule? Oh, it's 10 o'clock. I got to speak to Benny now. Of course not. This shows the absolute absurdity. Listen, there is power in prayer. God is still healing people today, but he's doing it providentially, not miraculously. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10, that the miracles would cease with the completion of the New Testament. Go and read that text for yourself. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. When the complete came, Paul said the miraculous gifts would cease. It's not about can God perform miracles today? Sure he can. It's a matter of God's will. What is his will today? God is working in our lives, but he's working providentially. Don't send Benny Hinn a dime. He's a fake healer, and now you know better. Why not visit our website, southendchurchofchrist.com. Until tomorrow at 2 o'clock, thank you for listening to Bible Talk.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, a work of the South End Church of Christ. The South End Church of Christ meets at 4001 Taylor Boulevard in Louisville, Kentucky. Visit us on the World Wide Web at southendchurchofchrist.com. And be sure to tune in each weekday at 2 p.m. for more Bible Talk.
Mix 1240 Love, WLLV, Louisville.